Ice cold beer!
Popcorn, peanuts, Cracker Jack.
I know what the big deal about Cracker Jack is. Did you ever go and buy a pack of Cracker Jack thinking you'd get a prize and find no prize in the box?
Today, I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
To the ball game, take me out to the crowd, buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I don't care if I ever get back. We'll root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame. 1, 2, 3 strikes you out at the old ball game.
All right, welcome back to the Bench Jockeys here on 101.5 UMFM. I'm Michael Elves, joined in the dugout by my pal Brian Svensson.
Hey, hi, howdy.
Well, it is the start of Pride Month. And
happy Pride Month, everybody.
Happy Pride Month. And unlike certain members of certain ball clubs, we are strongly in favor of these things. And so it's obviously the thing we're going to be talking about because baseball... The streams have crossed between what's going on in the social political calendar and what's going on in the world of baseball this week. So we can't, honestly, like there was no question. This is what we're going to talk about first.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I'm just stunned at how this man has conducted himself this year. You know, we spoke about Anthony Bass earlier in regards to his treatment of airline staff. Now, apparently, he believes that a single rainbow can is a detriment to everything. It's a national emergency. He's a clown, and I cannot believe that the Blue Jays haven't done anything about it. The apology is not enough. The man clearly has strongly entrenched beliefs that do not and should not exist here in anywhere, really, but especially here in such in a culture like Canada that is attempting to be inclusive. And I mean, I don't know, man, like for all the people out there who are inevitably going to cry about politics and sport, you know, this isn't politics and sport, man. Celebrating the lives and culture and history of an oppressed people is not politics. It's just being a decent person. Yeah. It's just being a decent person, man. Like, it sucks that this month just doesn't feel like it's going to be as joyous as years past because all these, pardon my language, right-wing, you know, jackasses are just frothing at the mouth to tell people that for whatever reason, these people don't deserve to exist. And I just don't understand, man. Like,
yeah, I mean, it feels especially bracing on the heels of the recent attempts for book bans in, you know, like the Winkler area and in Brandon.
Our backyard.
That we're seeing this happen here. And that describing queer people as an ideology rather than a portion of the population as, you know, your neighbor, your teacher, your grocer, whomever, whatever
any
relationship they have
person,
to you, it
like
doesn't
the same
matter.
Amount of odds.
It like whether you have someone in your life who's out or not, it doesn't matter. Like they deserve equal treatment and yep. recognition for who they are.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. 100%. Because we're all people. You know? We're all people.
So that's Bass, this came about because there's a really organized effort in the States, you know, to make this a political and religio-political issue. The Bud Light campaign and people, you know, trying to boycott Bud Light because they partnered with a trans woman for
one single can. Not even sold in stores. It's just wild.
That they did, that there was an outcry and a hue about that, and you know, ends up with a Kid Rock shooting an AK-47 at cans of Bud Light and stuff. And then you get the fact that Pride merchandise is being sold in Target and people are losing their minds about that and calling for a boycott of Target. And it was some Instagram account that Anthony Bass reposted or shared, calling for the biblical reasons to boycott Target, which, you know, I mean, of course, like, Target existed when the Bible was written, of course. So there's clearly evidence that Pride merchandise should be, that a store from Minnesota should be boycotted.
Bass violates the Bible every time he steps on the base. You're not allowed to do that, man. And he also works on Sundays too, by the way. Another thing that you're not supposed to do. So I wonder, interesting what parts of this.
Right. And I mean, when it comes down to it, like, love one another as I love you is kind of one of the like central tenets of Christianity.
That's kind of the message of the book, isn't it? Like, just be cool. That's what I thought, but whatever.
Yeah. And so he shares this and, you know, it's right as Pride Month is about to start, as the Blue Jays are set to host their Pride Nights early in this month. The Pride Parade in Toronto, obviously a very big deal coming up at the end of June. And showing either no concern or really no care for that portion of the community.
Like, the Jays have done the right thing, you know, before. They got rid of Roberto Osuna.
Yes. You know?
They suspended Kevin Pillar, a fan favorite, when he used a slur. You know, like, this is on that level. This is on that level.
The,
you know,
Pillar instance,
suspension is warranted here.
Yeah, it really resonated with me because he issued a really fulsome apology.
Yeah.
And then he showed efforts throughout the rest of the season in terms of like making amends.
Yep.
And Bass's quote unquote apology began with, "I'm going to make this quick." And it was, you know, 30 seconds of boilerplate. And then he like left, and he left his manager to face the media questions.
I'm not in the Blue Jays front office. I am not the general manager of the Toronto Blue Jays. If I was the member of the Toronto Blue Jays, the general manager of the Toronto Blue Jays, and I would get up there and the first things that I would have, after what Bass had said, that flat, useless apology, I would have gotten up there and I would have said, effective immediately, Anthony Bass is no longer a member of the Toronto Blue Jays organization.
Yeah.
That would have been it, man.
I retweeted a thread that a longtime Jays fan had posted, and he, you know, he said, you know, Anthony Bass has, you know, only worn this jersey for a short period of time, and it's the Jays community belongs to the fans, and they'll be around long after he's gone. He's a tourist in their space, and he doesn't get to define what's accepted in the Jays family. And that, you know, this is someone who should go.
He's not even pitching well. So, like, it's not even like the organization can hide behind the "we're trying to win ball games" excuse. Like, there is literally not a single shred of reason why this man should still be on the Blue Jays roster. None. It shouldn't happen. It's just, I'm glad the Jays fans booed the heck out of him. Mm-hmm. The whole game, apparently people were just going at him in the bullpen the whole game. Nobody sat with him. People were coming from all different sections, and they were just letting him have it. And when he finally got out there on the field, which, what in the world is John Schneider doing pitching him? But thank goodness the Toronto fans let him have it. Thank goodness. Holy heck.
Yeah, if you're Schneider in that situation, especially having had to, like, you know, answer the questions from the media, like, my inclination would be to sit him, just like basically almost like a shadow ban.
Yeah, he's not playing for my baseball team.
Like if the higher ups didn't, you know, suspend him or make a decision to release him or something like that, as manager, my control is when he gets into a game. And I can say, no, not for now.
Yeah, I don't understand why he entered the game. I mean, I you know, I guess at the end of the day, it's fine because he got booed.
I guess, you know, it gave them anything, the outlet or the opportunity to be,
you
to
know,
face
and,
that.
And for him to just hear how unanimous it was, I think that's important for a lot of these individuals to recognize that it is real people.
Mm-hmm.
It is very easy to dismiss when you are sitting at home, scrolling through Elon's Twitter, watching Fox News, to think that you are in the majority in this sort of opinion. And then to be so resoundingly, unanimously swatted down and told that your beliefs are not acceptable because you are giving no regard for another human being's existence. I hope that the message he took from that is that his thinking and behavior needs to change immediately.
Yeah, I mean, coming out of this, I did read a piece on CBC's sports site that the Pride Toronto executive director, Sherwin Modeste, you know, feels that there's an opportunity to turn this player's negative action into a positive, you know, that the apology is a beginning and not the only thing that should happen, that there needs to be work to recognize kind of why Pride is important, what barriers and problems that the 2SLGBTQ plus community faces, and that there are learning opportunities and advocacy opportunities, because honestly, if this guy's willing to use his social media for ill, he needs to use it for good.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's pretty much the long and short of it, right? You know? Yeah. I don't have any more words to say on the topic. I hope the Blue Jays do the right thing.
Sure enough. So do we want it to turn some non political baseball topics at this point then?
I mean, you called it political and we are attempting very, very much to not to tone that down, right? It's not political.
I'm saying it's political in the sense that, like, it's been infused with politics, but in the way that, like, anything is political, right? And I'm not saying, like, left, right, like,
sure,
because it's a thing that's been politicized, really. Like, Pride nights shouldn't be political.
Just like Jackie Robinson night shouldn't be political, right?
Right.
Like, it's not. So, yeah.
Right. So celebrating the, you know, breaking of the color barrier, celebrating the queer community, none of these things should be considered political. They're historical.
Yeah. Yeah,
I agree. They're socially important. But yeah, no, I didn't want to say, like, specific.
I get you. Cool.
Yeah.
All right. So what else did you, I mean, there's been a lot of interesting baseball things this past week that are not, you know,
that's true. The things that don't make me angry, at least, you know, some MLB news that doesn't have me reaching for my phone to go on Twitter. That's for sure.
Did you and Zook touch on the Bryce Harper comments towards the Rockies?
No, we did not.
Did you want to talk about it? Because the Phillies are now 5-12 since Bryce Harper called the Rockies a loser organization.
Yeah, I mean, I have a mixed relationship with Bryce Harper. I think he's a good player.
Same.
But I think he's a bit of a dolt sometimes.
I think he is. I think he's a dolt in a really unintentionally hilarious way. To me, you know, like, he, I, with the hair thing, like it was ironic, but it got so far ironic that it like it became unironically, you know, like it just like he leaned into it so far that it's he does that a lot. And it's, you know, it's stuff like this that gets him thrown at by Hunter Strickland, choked out by Jonathan Papelbon, and ends up with him answering stuff like clown question, bro. You know, he's an interesting cat. That's all I'm going to say. I also have a love hate with Bryce Harper. I think he's interesting. And I think he's good for baseball. And I think he's a talented player. And because of all those things, I enjoy that he exists. I also enjoy that he doesn't exist on my baseball team. It's a similar situation to Marcus Stroman.
Yeah, I suppose like he's good for baseball. Like we need some folks who are willing to spout their mouth off in a way that is like this. Rather than
this is healthy
style kind of thing that like,
yeah, no, this is healthy, right? This is bulletin board material. This is just like good, honest trash talk
yeah. amongst league. And like you want that, right? Like, honestly, there's it leads to situations like the A's, you know, walk off win against Atlanta, right? Like that there's opportunities for crazy things to happen. And so you have the Rockies being called out and then, the team
this is exactly the kind of personality I want to see in baseball. So like it's very funny. I do not want people clowning on Bryce Harper for it, because like if people clown on Bryce Harper and other baseball players see that, I know Bryce won't care, because Bryce will just continue to do things his way. He's not going to change. He's whatever, 32? He's not changing how he operates at this point in time just because the Phillies went in a skid after he called the Rockies a loser organization. He's not going to bother him at all. But if, you know, younger baseball players that might have a similar personality to Bryce, but a little, you know, are a little less established, see people going at him for this sort of thing in an unhealthy way, you know, in a healthy way, you can just be like, hey, dude, you're what about loser organization? That's funny, you know, but if you're going to come at him in non, you know, productive, you know, non-healthy ways, then all you're going to end up doing is hurting the game. So like interact responsibly with this sort of thing.
Right. But yeah, having personalities is great. And in fact, on Thursday, MLB and MLB Players Inc., which is the business arm of the MLB Players Association, announced a new agreement to increase player marketing.
Yeah.
They recognize that like having exciting players and players that draw eyeballs or, you know, turn heads is good for the league.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's incredibly simple to just, like, throw a nightly web gem package up on, you know, on your socials, you know?
Mm-hmm.
A nightly minute-long or 2-minute-long web gem package with a, you know, license a cool set of songs, you know, and just, like, every single night put up a thing of web gems, you know? People like to see that. Why not? That is a simple thing that requires one human being, like whatever, like half an hour, 2 hours of their time. Like that's employable, right? Like that's a job. That's a cool thing that somebody can do. And that's really, really easy. Throw that up on TikTok. Well, I guess not TikTok, because they're trying to ban it.
They're trying to ban it. And
Instagram and YouTube and
Snapchat,
and not Twitter. I don't
even know if you can do that.
People, I sound really old right now. Do people use Snapchat anymore?
It's a good question. Even my kids use Discord, I think so.
I use Discord, but I don't think you can.
Can't share things like that, I guess, maybe. Instagram. It's got to be Instagram then, like on your reels.
That's a really easy thing. They have been doing a lot more cool commercials. As someone who frequents
YouTube
MLB
Shorts,
TV,
that's what my 9-year-old watches.
That's it, the YouTube Shorts. I watched quite a few of those as well. So yeah, I don't know. Like that's simple, right? Like,
yeah. Oh my God, two minute clip packages of highlights. He would be all over that.
You know, with like a cool, you know, I ain't no joke. Boom, there's one right there. The Jazz Chisholm, sick diving catch. You know, the Kevin Kiermaier. Rob job from tonight, you know?
15% expectancy of catching it.
You know, and then put up a graphic like that, right? Like a the 1966 Batman thing, pow, except it said 60, you know, bright blue letters on a purple background, you know, whatever, 15% catch expectancy. Like, that's cool. Let people know that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And like, promote, you have a partnership with Baseball Savant. Promote that. You know how cool it is and how easy it is to be like, oh, geez, I wonder if so-and-so is a good player. Let's just name a player off the top of our head. Oh, geez, is Javi Baez a good player, right? Like, is Javi Baez having a good season? And it's really easy to just, you know, go to Baseball Savant, and there's these nice, cool charts with, like, red letters where they're good and blue circles where they're bad. Like, that's really easy to look at and be like, hey, cool. I this guy's having a good or bad season. Promote that. Promote that.
You sent me the Adley Rutschman video.
Adley's the best. That commercial's so cool.
Posing as an employee at the MLB shop.
That was wicked.
You know, making I think you should leave jokes.
Yes, the whole, like, I can't, like, we're all looking for the guy who did this, right? Like, and I'm more of a Yankees, really? Like, just great. It's really entertaining, man. I think they did one sort of like that with Aaron Judge. Like, just get players interacting with people in public. That stuff's hilarious.
Well, even much as I hate to say it, I saw pictures of Aaron Judge, you know, shoeless, playing with his dog in the outfield at Yankee Stadium.
That's cool.
That kind of stuff's great.
Put that up on the billboard at Times Square, MLB, America's pastime. What the heck is more American than just like running around the grass with your dog? I don't know. That's cool as heck.
What they won't promote is the fact that the A's are being outdrawn by minor league and independent ball. Did you see the Portland Pickles?
Yep, that's the one where they like confirm with that we are outdrawing the Oakland A's, and it's like, oh no. Oh no, they're getting major leagued, man. It's happening in real life. And it's just like, I don't know if you saw the deal that John Fisher signed, but like, it's a worse deal for him than the Oakland one was.
His Vegas deal. Yeah.
Yeah.
At least the details that we've seen that, I mean, have this been confirmed as.
Not like 100% confirmed. Right. I don't know, man. Like I have thoughts about this. Like, Manfred is as much to blame for this kind of crap as Fisher, you know, like, for all the Vegas has plenty of local fans too. Like, they're advertising that they're going to have games at 4 PM on weekdays. What local is going to be able to go to a 4 PM weekday game?
Mm-hmm.
You know, all they're trying to do is milk Nevada locals for millions and billions of dollars for a tiny new ballpark. And then they're giving them a middle finger by being like, guess what? We're exploring scheduling all of our home games at a time that the locals can't go to. Plus they're planning on opening up a flagship store there that's selling like the whole league's worth of gear. They're just turning it into a baseball resort. It's the same reason they're exploring moving the Rays to Orlando. They're just trying to milk what used to be a local, a game on a local level, and you know, where players connected with communities and communities got built around ball clubs, and they're just trying to turn it into sterile bullshit that's completely devoid of any sort of civic pride. Why the hell would anyone want to root for any one of these teams at all when not even the laundry matters anymore, man?
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting thing. I've had thoughts about, like, you know, people who rail about like players like leaving for big money and in free agent stuff, and it's like, well, like, if a team shows like no solidarity to the players over time, like, why do we expect that from the players? And honestly, like, in the same way, if the team shows that to their fans, why do we expect that from the fans?
You can't really. I don't know, man. I love baseball, but I mean
no ethical consumption under capitalism. This is the problem, right? Like, there's
yeah dude.
We say this and we
seize the means of production, brother.
We repeat it because it's so true, and it's dispiriting at times. And really, I feel for the A's fans. Like, I mean, good on those people who are still going.
Yes.
To the Oko, right? Because, like, that's...
Well, yes and no. On one hand, you know, like, good on you for being a loyal fan and still turning out and showing those players that, like, hey, like, somebody still cares about you.
That, yeah. And
that's important. But, like, also, like, I hope that they're all sneaking in and not paying a dime to get into the ballpark.
Or, like, buying, like, the cheapest seats and then, like, you know, clambering down to the, like, behind
the Gold Eye special. Hi, right? Sam.
Yeah. Don't give away my secrets here.
We just sit in the beer section. Anyways.
I was going to say, I sit at the berm and the, yeah, by the beer garden. No, but, yeah, like, I do, I feel some solidarity with them that they're like, the, you know, they're, it's like the band, the strings playing on the Titanic. Right?
Yep. You know? Oh yeah. Yep. 100%.
Like,
yeah.
Honestly, that's what should play on the screen. Like every game.
If they had an ounce of self-awareness, but like, I wouldn't even be bothered if I was like, what are you supposed to do if you're an employee of the club, you know, like a local employee of the club, like a,
yeah, someone who's clearly their job is not going to transfer.
Like, I don't
most
know
of the jobs.
Yeah. I don't know how this would operate. I've never been intimately involved in the translocation of a ball club, but would the grounds crew go with them? Like, how low do you have to go before you're not paying for relocation of those employees?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, do you pay for the grounds crew relocation? Do you pay? Well, you're definitely not paying for your concession relocation, right? Nope. Like, none of those staff. You're not paying for minimum wage staffers. So those people that have, you know, jobs for 4, 5, 6 months out of the year, you know, what are you doing right now? You know the team's leaving. You don't know when.
Yeah.
So do you stay? Do you go? Who do you hire to bring in there? Like, it's all just a logistical nightmare with this just absolute dead fish of a ball club that's going on.
This does make me want to look for like a ASB reporter that we can get on the show to, you know, maybe talk about those kind of things. Cause that is an interesting question, right? Like obviously like guys like scouts and stuff, I would have to imagine because they're generally not like based right in Oakland, right? Like they would come in for,
you bringing your administrative staff or something, like your assistant staff, your administrative assistant staff, are they coming with you? I assume yes, but like, you know, like how low does that go? Like where, like, is it the entire front office? I have questions. I would like to know. Cause it's just, I'm sure it's a lot of uncertainty for all those people too. And that's probably not a great deal of fun.
Yeah. Well, that's a question we don't have an answer for, but we do have an answer for what's coming up at 1 PM. What's on the pity party?
I have a pretty fun banger of a show involving some stuff from Valley Heart, Great Grandpa, Sinai Vessel Without Parachutes, Tomorrow St. Peter, and a really wonderful track to end the show from a band called Lock. So make sure you tune into that.
So that's coming up at 1 p.m. Dr. Ruben Noble is next in Democracy Now! At noon. Stick around here on 101.5 UMFM.
Strike three, you're out!